the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for days, visiting his grave in a certain manner, so visiting his grave is among the best of deeds.
نهيه عن زيارة قبره على وجه مخصوص مع أن زيارته من أفضل الأعمال.
To visit the grave is a good deed because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, visit the grave.
كنت قد نهيتكم عن زيارة القبور
فزوروها. I did forbid you from visiting the grave, but now you can visit it. Because visiting the grave reminds you of the year after. And the grave of the Prophet is among those graves. So people can visit the grave of the Prophet just like they visit any other grave in that aspect, without making specific effort to visit his own grave and traveling to visit the grave of the Prophet. So the Prophet said, you do not make a travel except for three masajid. So people should not travel and leave their houses and leave their residency to visit the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade us making except a visit to his grave.
And that's taking لا تتخذوا قبري عيدا. عيدا means something you come to in repetition. من عاد يعود.
He's urging to perform God in prayer in the home.
Where did he take that from?
Hadith
of the Prophet. He said, "Do not make your houses into graveyards." And why did he say an-nafila? Not the yes. نعم.
Because الواجب أن تصلى في المسجد. What is left is النافلة. Don't pray the nafila in your house. In the masjid, pray in your house. To lighten your house with the prayer. أفضل صلاة المرء في بيته إلا المكتوبة.
The best prayer is in your house. That the one that you do in your house, except the mandatory prayer.
It is established among the companions رضي الله عنهم that offering salah in the Sunday prayer is prohibited.
Yes.
The explanation that a person's invocation of salah and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is conveyed to him even if they may be far away, so there is no need of what some misconstrue as a necessity to be in close proximity to his prayer.
We have talked about that too. For people to send the salah over the Prophet, they do not have to be in Medina. You can be in Jamaica, you can be in Orlando, you can be anywhere, and your salah will reach to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, insha'Allah.
He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in the barza where the salah and salam of the ummah are conveyed.
Now we move on to the chapter after that. باب ما جاء أن بعض هذه الأمة يعبدون الأوثان. The chapter concerning the evidence that some of this nation will worship idols, الأوثان. And he brought three ayat for explicating this point. We're going to go into the first ayat. ألم تر إلى الذين أوتوا نصيبا من الكتاب يؤمنون بالجبت والطاغوت ويقولون للذين كفروا هؤلاء أهدى من الذين آمنوا سبيلا. Have you seen, have you considered those who were given portion of the book, yet they believe in witchcraft and they believe in a طاغوت, and they say to the disbelievers that the disbelievers are more guided than the believers. The second ayah, قُلْ هَلْ أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِشَرٍ مِّنْ ذَلِكَ مَثُوبَةً عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَنْ لَعَنَهُ اللَّهُ وَغَضِبَ عَلَيْهِ وَجَعَلَ مِنْهُمُ الْقِرَدَةَ وَالْخَنَازِيرَ وَعَضْوَ الصَّابِرِ. Should I tell you about those who have worse punishment, are those who have the curse of Allah, or those who were cursed by Allah, and they will have the wrath of Allah over them, and Allah made out of them monkeys and swine, and they worship a fowl. And the third ayah, قال الذين غلبوا على أمرهم لنتخذن عليهم مسجدا. This ayah in Surah Al-Kahf concerning the people who were in the Kahf for 309 years. Those people, after this situation was revealed, they say we're going to build over their grave a masjid. All of those ahadith and all of those ayat are concerning people before us. But there's a hadith, which is an authentic hadith by Bukhari and Muslim, that says that you're going to follow people before you with everything exactly. Even if they enter into the hole of above, you're going to go after them. They said, who, Prophet of Allah? Al-Yahudi wal-Nasara, qala thaman. And you can say Al-Yahudi wal-Nasara or Al-Yahuda wal-Nasara, depending on the I'rab of that. So with this being the case, all of those ayat are also applicable to the Muslims. That some Muslims who believe in the book, yet they believe in the witchcraft and they believe in a problem. You're going to see those people who might be earning the wrath of Allah, and those people who turn their graves into nashashin. And the other hadith that is mentioned here is the hadith here narrated by Muslim, that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إن الله أعز ولي الأرض فرأيت مشارقها ومغاربها وإن أمتي سيبلغ ملكها ما دون لي منها وأعطيت الكلبين الأحمر والأبيض وإني سألت ربي لأمتي ألا يهلكها بسنة بعامة وأن لا يخلد عليهم عدوا من سوى أنفسهم فيستبيح بيضتهم وإن ربي قال يا محمد إني قضيت قضاء فإنه لا يرد وإن إذا قضيت قضاء فإنه لا يرد وإني أعطيت لأمتك ألا أهلكهم بسنة عامة وألا أخلف عليهم عدوا من سوى أنفسهم فيستبيح بيضتهم ولو اجتمع عليهم بأقطارها حتى يكون بعضهم يهلك بعضا ويفتي بعضهم بعضا. In this hadith, or the first part of this hadith, which was narrated by Muslim, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah has made the earth visible for me. So I saw the east and the west. And my nation will reach the east and the west. The ruling of my nation will reach the east and the west. And I was given the two treasures. The red, which is the gold, and the white, which is the silver. And I asked Allah for my nation for them not to be destroyed altogether. And I asked Allah not to put an enemy that will domineer them so that enemy will destroy them and will kill them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O Muhammad, if I decree an issue, my decree will not be withdrawn. And I have given to your nation that they are not going to be destroyed altogether. And I have given to your nation that no other nation will control them and take control of them. Even if everybody come over your nation, until your nation themselves, they start coming against each other and killing against each other. And then there is the remaining of this hadith, but this the reminder of this hadith or the was not narrated by Muslim, but was narrated by other scholars of hadith. البرقاني. It says, وإنما أخاف على أمتي الأئمة المذلين وإذا وقع عليهم السيف لم يرفع إلى يوم القيامة ولا تقوم الساعة وهنا الشاهد حتى يلحق حي من أمتي بالمشركين وحتى تعبدوا فئام من أمتي الأوثان وإنه سيكون في أمتي كذابون 30 كلهم يزعم أنه نبي وأنا خاتم النبيين لا نبي بعد ولا تزال طائفة من أمتي على الحق منصورة لا يضرهم من خذلهم حتى يأتي أمر الله تبارك وتعالى. Because the thing that I fear for my community the most is the misguided leader. And when the sword will be used amongst my people, this event will remain until the day of judgment. And the hour will not come until the tribe of my nation will go after the disbeliever. And until another tribe of my nation will worship the idol. And there will be 30 lions that will come after me, and each one of them will claim that he is a prophet. Nevertheless, I am the seal of the prophet, and there is no prophet after me. And a group of my nation will remain victorious with the truth, and they are not going to be affected by those who forsake them until the day of judgment comes, and they will remain victorious. From this second part of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ told us that some tribe of his nation will join the disbelief, and some tribe of his nation will worship the idol, the al-shan. And that is in agreement with the title of this chapter, that some people of the nation of Muhammad ﷺ will worship the idol. And this hadith, we take the benefit that a group of the nation of Muslims, a ta'ifa, they will be supporting the truth and upon the truth, regardless of those who forsake the truth and forsake this group. This group, Ya Akhwan, is not a group which is assigned in a certain country or a certain place. This group is a group of the truth, the group who align themselves with the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is something that is claimed by every group. Every group, they say that we are aligning ourselves with the Quran and the Sunnah. No one will come and say we are opposing the Quran and the Sunnah. But there must be another additional phrase that a person who is lining himself with the Quran and the Sunnah, he has to make it clear that he is taking this book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ the same style that the book of Allah and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad were taken by the Prophet and his companions and the righteous predecessors. Those who took this, they are insha'Allah and Al-Ta'ifa Al-Mansura. Nevertheless, that does not mean those people who are trying to be Al-Ta'ifa Al-Mansura, they become angels and they are sinless. Because the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who were the best people after the Prophet, some of them committed sin. They were stealing. Even they were adultery. In the case of Al-Mar' al-Ghamidiyya, that she came and she asked Allah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to purify her from her sin. And the Prophet said, she made the path of repentance, but it was given to the people of Medina, it would be sufficient for all of them. And here, we're going to text you where the Prophet, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this hadith, إذا قضيت قضاء فإنه لا يرد. If I decree an issue, my decree will not be overruled. What type of decree? Legislative or remember what we were talking about al-qada? Legislative. What kind of decree? Create. So if Allah has the al-qada al-fawri for something to exist, this will not going to be withdrawn. But similar also, when Allah legislates something, nobody would oppose his legislation. But Allah, after legislating something, he can abrogate the previous rule. Having said that, inshaAllah, we read the issue of this chapter. Do you make a time for a verse? InshaAllah. Explanation of the verse in An-Nisa. I get this.
So,
explanation of the verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah. And explanation of the verse in Surah Al-Kahf.
No.
The most important issue is what is meant by believing in al-jib, in al-tahu. Does it mean believing in that sincerely by the heart or approval of those who do so or hating it and knowing it's possible?
No, it refers to believing that in the heart. But the how did you say agreeing with it, with hating it, that does not mean personally believing it, because the belief is subject of something in the fear of the heart. So a person who believes in al-Tawhid in his heart, he is the one who is faith, believer in al-Tawhid. But the person who agrees with al-Tawhid but in his heart does not believe in it, this person is not considered a believer in al-Tawhid.
The Jewish saying regarding the pagan Quraysh, that the disbelievers who are well aware of their kufr are a more correct and better path than the believers.
No.
Such people will be found in the Muslim community as proved that the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiallahu anhu, this is the main object of the chapter.
Yes.
The occurrence of his declaration that many followers of this ummah will worship false deities.
And when they worship, this is the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri.
Most amazing is the appearance of those claiming prophethood like Al-Mukhtar.
Al-Mukhtar ibn Ubayd,
who conquered Kufa at the beginning of the Khalifa of Ibn Zubayr. Despite his proclamation of Al-Shahadatain and his declaration of being a part of this Muslim nation, and testifying that the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was true and the Quran was true, and therein was the confirmation that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the seal of the Prophet, he was believed in spite of his clear and open contradiction to it. Al-Shahadatain al-Mukhtar appeared in the later era of the companions and many people followed him.
So this man al-Mukhtar ibn Ubayd, he is the one I think who referred to in the hadith, يخرج من فقيه كذاب ومدير. الكذاب is al-Mukhtar ibn Ubayd, who claimed the prophecy and he claimed that he was a prophet. Nevertheless, it says he used to declare al-Shahada and he used to believe in al-Quran. But that does not make him a believer, because he did something that nullified all of his belief, and that is declaring himself to be a prophet, and he is a kazzab.
The glad tidings that the truth will never perish completely as it had in the past, indeed there will always be a group upon the truth.
Yes, so the Ta'if al-Mansura will remain, I will stay until the Masih ibn Maryam comes, and we will be joining with the Masih ibn Maryam, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. greatest of signs is that they, being the victorious group, will not be harmed by those who oppose them and fight against them despite them being few in number.
Because they are victorious and supported with the truth. They're not supported only by numbers, they are supported with the truth. Therefore, those who forsake them, and those who forsake them, and those who do not support them, the Ta'if al-Mansura will not be affected by that, inshaAllah.
This will be because, this will be the case until the last hour.
Yes.
There are a number of signs in the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah boldly,
you don't have to go through that. Move on to
the extent of fear of the nation from the misguided and the stray leaders.
So he says, the most I fear for you are those misguided leaders. And those misguided imams, they will lead a lot of people. Because they appear to be saying what they are saying with a religious authority, and they appear to have knowledge. Therefore, many people will be misguided by those misguided imams.
Warning and notice of the meaning of idol worship.
No. So that will, idol worship, it means here, it does not only simply to prostrate and make a court to the idol, but by worshipping could be by obeying those who legislate things against the legislation of Allah. You obey them and you think their legislation is better than the legislation of Allah. Not simple obedience, because simple obedience does not mean a person is falling into disbelief. But it means somebody who believes in his heart that that which is legislated is better than the legislation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's something that we're going to deal with, inshaAllah, in detail in next, in chapters to come. And having said that, we have finished this chapter. InshaAllah, we go through the questions here.
The question says, what does one do when he or she visits a grave according to Islamic injunction?
According to Islam, when somebody visits the grave, they say the dua that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught Aisha, say, Salaamu alaykum, ya Rasul al-Mu'mineen, Antum sabiqoon, ya Nahnu Allah haqeen, ya Inna illa Allahi raji'oon. And this is the dua. And then after the dua, verbatim as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught Aisha. So there's a dua that similar to what I have said. And the people, when they visit the grave, they say this dua.
What are the etiquettes of visiting the grave? Do you visit the grave of a Catholic parent?
Yes, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ask forgiveness for his mother, and he was denied. And he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow him to visit the grave of his mother, and he was permitted to do so. So it's permitted to do that. And visiting of the grave, the purpose behind it is not to mourn and groan. The purpose of this visit is to be reminded of the year after. Nowadays, people when they go to graveyards, especially in this country, you can have a barbecue over there and you're not going to be reminded of the year after. As all the grass and everything that flowers, that would defy that purpose. But the graves, the way they are done according to Islam, they will remind you of the year after. So the etiquette of visiting the grave to go without mourning and groaning. A person will go to the graveyard without testifying to go to one specific grave. And they will make the dua that it was mentioned in the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the meaning of that dua, when you say, to all the people, You are the one who went first, and we're going to come next after you, insha'Allah. We ask Allah to forgive you and to forgive us.
Next question is, what is the definition of a ta'ud?
A ta'ud, kullu ma istubi'a ma'bud min ma'bud aw muta'a. الثالثة the definition of al-tawud, everything that a person will utilize to go over the limit, whether that use authority is something which is worshipped, or something which is followed, or something which is obeyed. The worship example of statue. When the statues are used for a person to go over the limits that were established for him, that statue will become a ta'ud. The example of al-muta' is the leader. When the leader, the authority of the leader is used for the people to go over the limits. When the leaders of the community legislate rules, define the rules of Allah, and the people follow those rules and believe in those rules, those leaders will become a ta'ud. أو متبوع. المتبوع are those authorities that people follow them. When those authorities legislate things that defies the rules of Allah and people follow them and follow them, those leaders also will become ta'ud.
Is Isa ibn Maryam
No, Isa ibn Maryam is not a ta'ud. Even though the Christians, they worship Isa ibn Maryam, but Isa ibn Maryam is not a ta'ud, because the definition of the ta'ud is applicable for those authorities who purposely call the people to go over the border. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, الله ولي الذين آمنوا يخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور والذين كفروا أولياؤهم الطاغوت يخرجونهم من النور إلى الظلمات. الله سبحانه وتعالى said Allah is the alliance of the believer. He removed the believer from the darkness to the light. And those who disbelieve, their alliance is al-taghut. And al-taghut, and here the evidence, is taking him from the light to the darkness. So that implies, or not implies, tells us explicitly that al-taghut is doing an action to take the people from the light to the darkness. Whereas Isa ibn Maryam, he did all of his efforts for the people to take the people from the darkness to the light. Here the people are misguided. So we do not call Isa ibn Maryam a ta'ud. But those people who purposely ask others to go and to transgress and go beyond the borders that were established for them, those individuals, whether they are people of power, authority, or people of influence on the people, that they will be followed, they influence the community so the community follows them, or they have some divinity, false divinity attached to them, those are our fathers. Yes.
The question is, if we know that it is not allowed for us to visit, to go to the funeral of the chapter, what if a brother or a sister is the only living relative of our parents, say, for instance, that died? What does that person do when nobody else is there to do it?
Well, it's not the ritual for us to go to a funeral of the chapter. It's not a statement without restriction. It's not the ritual to go to the funeral of the chapter. It's going to the funeral will subject the Muslim to haram practices. But if there is no haram practices in going to the funeral, then it's permissible. And if there is no other person that would be able to handle the burial of that disbelieving relative, that believing relative should do the procedure to handle his burial. But that does not mean he will be involved in making the burial in style that is defined Islam. We have Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know that he told Ali bin Abi Talib, when Abu Talib died, go and bury him. So from that we know the truth, inshaAllah. So hadha wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa barak ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.